Praise the Lord, everybody. I am so happy to be here this morning. I thank God for the opportunity to share with you. Amen. I saw Pastor Bill and I hugged him and he's disappeared, but I love him and I'm so glad to be able to be here and give him a break this morning. If you would just give me a few minutes right before I do, I want to thank all the people from the Citadel in Hartford who came to be with us today. Thank you for pushing me. We already had an 8 o'clock service. We came over here. We're running back to our 1 o'clock service in a few minutes. So thank you very much. That's just what we do on Sunday. We go to church. I have written a book, and it's called Ordered Steps. It is the number one bestseller on the Marichal Muntz book list. And we've sold more books, more of these books, than any other books on that book list. So get a copy if you can. It's $10. Today it's on sale for $9.99. And if you do buy a copy, you will help us to do the ministry that we do there back in Hartford, Connecticut. Amen. It really speaks about embracing the place of where you are. It's called Ordered Steps, and understanding that when you love God and when you're trying to do the right thing, He will order your steps. And sometimes you end up in places where you will shake your head and say, can this be God? And it is absolutely God, because He develops us through these things. So let me get into this real quick, all right? And I got a few minutes. Amen. I told Pastor Bill that I get nervous when I come here because this clock drives me crazy. You know, but it's good. It keeps me, you know, like, gotta hurry up. All right. Our scripture lesson today comes from Psalm 107, verse 23 through 32. I'll be reading from the Message Bible, and it says, some of you set sail in big ships. You put to sea to do business in faraway ports. Out at sea, you saw God in action, saw His breathtaking ways with the ocean. With a word, He called up the wind, an ocean storm, towering waves. You shot high in the sky, then the bottom dropped out. Your hearts were stuck in your throats. You were spun like a top. You reeled like a drunk. You didn't know which end was up. Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He quieted the wind down to a whisper, put a muzzle on all the big waves. And you were so glad when the storm died down, and He led you safely back to harbor. So thank God for His marvelous love, for His miracle mercy to the children He loves. Lift high your praises when the people assemble. Shout hallelujah when the elders meet. So far, the scriptures. If you don't mind, just because it's just our tradition, I'm just going to bring you in. You got to be a talkback church to me today. That means you got to say hallelujah, amen, thank you, Jesus. Say something. Say go ahead or say something. Amen. You can be quiet next week, but today you got to talk. Amen. Look over at your neighbor and say, neighbor. That's not loud enough. Say, neighbor. He still calms storms. Yeah, you got it right up in here. That's it. How many sermons do we have to hear? How many miracles do we have to see before we learn to just trust God? After all that we have already seen God do, we have enough to feel safe and to feel secure And yet every single time trouble comes, every time a problem comes, every time a situation comes, every time a storm comes, we struggle with, is God going to get me through this? Just like people who are not saved, we panic. Here we are, the believers, the Christians. And after all of the church services we've been to, after all of the service we've done, after all of the money we've given, we already know that God is with us in the storm, but we still panic. We start to say, like, what are we going to do? I don't know how I'm going to get through it this time. This is the big one. Like Fred Sanford used to say, this is the big one. Human beings are really something. But before we start throwing stones at other people for their lack of faith, let me ask you something. Have you ever found yourself in that boat with your back to God and rowing hard against the storm? I know I've turned my back on God in some storms. Have you ever fought yourself into exhaustion against the misfortunes of life when real help was only a prayer away? I know I've pursued performance over prayer many, many times. And then when you finally did turn to God, were you in a place of humility and prayer, or were you upset and angry with God and saying, hey, God, don't you hear me? All I can say is I haven't always prayed the way I pray, like I pray now. I'm sure that at least once everybody in this room has tried to maneuver life's problems on their own. And then, watch this, then got angry at God when it didn't work. I'm sure of that because that's just what humans do. We just like to blame somebody else for what doesn't work. So then it begs the question, why doesn't God just step in and handle all of our problems? Better yet, why doesn't God just stop the problems from coming in the first place? The way we would say it on Barber Street is, God, won't you hook a brother up? I'm so glad you asked me this question. Let me explain. God does not shelter us from the problems of life because, like any good parent, God loves his children. Go back and read the scriptures in Mark, the 4th chapter. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, let us go to the other side. Before they left, he said, let us go to the other side. They get in the storm, and as soon as they get in the storm, they start to say, we're going to die. Who told you you were going to die? Jesus said, we're going to the other side. If Jesus said, we're going to the other side, that's what we're going to do. But there was another voice that got in our head in the process of, let's just say, life. Did Jesus know there was going to be a storm? Absolutely, he knew. He was the omniscient God. Jesus not only knew about the storm, he knew that his disciples were going to start to worry in the storm. He also knew what he was going to do about the storm. Jesus loved his disciples so much that he allowed them to get in harm's way. But with God, there's a purpose for everything. What was the purpose in this situation? Jesus allowed the storm so that he could strengthen their faith. He gave them an actual real-time lesson on just who they could trust when a storm comes. It's no different for us today. God allows the slings and the arrows of this world to come at us so that we can exercise the faith that he has given us through his word. And that faith is like a muscle. The more it is exercised, the stronger it grows. I'm not, you know, like the young guy over there who was doing the announcement. You know, I have to put on a jacket so you don't see my little extra stomach. But I have been going to the gym and exercising every day for the last 760 days. Now, I found that things that I couldn't do when I started, I do easily now because I have exercised those muscles. And the more you exercise your faith, the stronger your faith will become. God knows that the stronger our faith, the easier it will be for us to face life head on, and watch this, then come out on top. God knows that a strong faith will stop the weight of the world from crushing us. I've found it to be true that life does not get easier. If somebody tells you that, it's a lie. You just become stronger and stuff doesn't affect you the same way it used to. In all actuality, I believe that there are some of us who are on a collision course with destiny. And while salvation is free, you will pay for your destiny. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you. Life can hurt. But before you get to crying and screaming, ask God, what are you trying to teach me in this? This is where most of us miss it. Some of us backslide, and some of us stop being faithful, and some of us go through the motions, but we have lost our passion. If you're ever going to come out on top with visible victory, you're going to have to take surfing lessons and ride this storm. You will need passion to maintain the heart of a warrior. You will need passion to hold on when it looks like death. Life will tell you that you will not be able to handle the storm. But there's a couple things that I found out. Number one, God is in the process of increasing your faith. That sounds like a good thing to me because I read in the scriptures that without faith, it is impossible, somebody say something to me, to please God. I can't please him if I don't have faith. So please, Lord, increase my faith. But the other thing that I found out that God is doing, because some of us second guess ourselves, God is showing you what you're made of. Look at somebody on your row and tell them, I was made for this. Y'all didn't say it loud enough. Tell somebody else, I was made for this. There are some things that you have lived through that other people have died trying to do what you did. It's because there's something special on the inside of you. There's a special anointing that God has given you to live through this. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that there's more, hallelujah, more to me than meets the eye. But the other thing that I found out that God is in the process of doing, he's not just increasing my faith. He's not just showing me what I'm made of. But anybody who really puts their life in the hands of the Lord, he will begin the process of transforming you into what you should be. And you are most like God when you act like God. When you act like God, then you can just go back to the beginning of the scriptures. The Bible says, in the beginning, God said, and everything God said was manifested. And I like to encourage you that this has got to be an hour where you're going to have to open up your mouth and start to speak some things that you want to see manifested in your life. This has got to be a time where you change your language. I refuse to just walk around and talk about how depressed I am and how sick I am and how broke I am. The devil is a lie. I have victory. I got joy. I got more money than I know what to do with because I'm changing my language. And ultimately, God is transforming us to get the authority to speak to the devil that comes against us. And tell the devil, you mess with the wrong one. Because I am the storm. You thought that you were the storm. You thought the trial was the storm. But I'm the storm. There's a, oh man, I wish I could remember. Oh, it was on Bugs Bunny, the Tasmanian thing that when he came, he would tear up everything in his path. And that's what I'm doing. Devil, when you come after me, you messed up. I'm the storm. I'm about to bust up everything you bring in my way. You got to get to a place where you tell the devil, you're not going to destroy me, but I'm going to destroy you. You will not intimidate me, but I got a praise that will intimidate you. Hallelujah. But until you get there, can I tell the truth? Until you get there, there's a couple things that I want you to know so that you can survive where you are. Number one, I must know that God loves me. Somebody say, God loves me. God loves me, and I am his child, and he wants me to be happy. Please. Don't be a Christian and not happy. Come on, don't be a Christian and not happy. I've been pastoring now for 22 years in the city of Hartford, pouring my life into the ministry and pouring my life into people. And it was about 5 years ago. Would you say, Randy, about 5 years ago? About 5 years ago, I gave my testimony to the church that I made up my mind I was tired of being unhappy. Nobody knew it because I was going to church. I was preaching. I was singing. I was working, and I was miserable. Everybody would go home happy, and I'd go home and sit in the middle of the floor and cry. The devil is a lie. And I just decided it's time for me to be happy. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, God loves us so much that he allows the things that make our faith in him to grow. That's how much he loves us. It's never to kill us. It's to strengthen us. It's never to destroy you. It's to empower you. So, I got to know that he loves me. I got to also know that when my faith is strong, then my faith will give birth to the joy of knowing that as a child of God, you got to have faith to know this. But as a child of God, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. Tell somebody it's working for my good. You got to have faith to be able to say it's working for my good. It doesn't look good. It doesn't smell good. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't feel good. But it's working for my good. Hallelujah. And so it's God's love for me that gives me the peace that passes all understanding in the midst of the storm. Yes, Lord. So I got to know that he loves me. I got to know that it's working for my good. And then I got to know that when the storms of life hit, and they will hit, I can rest assured in the fact that God has not forsaken me. When you're faced with something that the world would say is a loss, you can rest assured that you have a father who knows just when to calm the storm and when to calm his child. He's not going to let you just die. He's trying to get you to another place of trust. Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 13th verse, and I want to change the word temptation to storm. He says, no storm, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience, nor is any storm unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to his word. He is compassionate and trustworthy, and he will not let you be in the storm beyond your ability. But along with the storm, he has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out, so you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome the storm with joy. That's why. I grew up in a little Baptist church in Hartford, and they used to sing the hymns of the church. And one of my favorite ones was a song by Ludie Carrington Day Pickett. It said, I've seen the lightning flashing, and I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. And the chorus said, no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. He promised, and with God, a promise is a promise. We can't understand that because we're so used to people who break promises that when God says, I'll keep my promise, we're confused because we try to make God like people. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy 31 and 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. With God, that's a promise. Sometimes when you're in a storm, it'll feel like correction. But look at what God says in Job 5, 17. How enviable the man whom God corrects. Oh, do not despise the chastening of the Lord when you sin. For though he wounds, he binds and heals again. He will deliver you again and again so that no evil can touch you. He will keep you from death and famine and from the power of the sword in time of war. You will be safe from slander. No need to fear the future. You shall laugh at war and famine. Wild animals will leave you alone. Dangerous animals will be at peace with you. Shake this off and live through your storm. I said, shake this off and live through your storm. Shake this off and live through your storm. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, third verse. He says, what a wonderful God we have. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of every mercy, and the one who so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials. This is the key. And why does he do this? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them this same help and comfort that God has given to us. My challenge for you today is to recognize that God wants to use you to be a blessing to someone else's life. God wants to use you to help somebody else out of the storm, but you have to let your faith be strong enough to know that even though it's a little confusing right now, he still calms storms. And when you live through it, when you come through it, you have a challenge to help somebody else who is in the middle of something and going through with what God taught you in your storm. Look at what our opening scripture said. Some of you set sail in big ships, You put to sea to do business in faraway ports. Out at sea, you saw God in action. Can I tell you that it's not until you get out into the deep places where you have to really learn to trust God. When there's nothing and no one else that you can lean on, that's when you can see the hand of God in your life. Don't miss the spectacular miracle that God wants to do in you and for you because you're afraid to sail again. He'll quiet your storm to a whisper, and he'll put a muzzle on all the big waves. And look at this. He says, and you were so glad when the storm died down and he led you safely back to harbor. When you are really glad and grateful, you will thank God. You will thank God because the truth of the matter is that for a moment, I began to wonder what was going on here. But the reality is I came all the way from Barber Street in the north end of Hartford to tell you that if you can just trust God while you are in this storm, he still calms storms. That's enough to thank him right there. I will not focus on what I'm going through, but I'll praise him while I'm in it. And so I thank God that he loves me enough to teach me in a way that I might not understand. But he's still God, and he still calms storms. I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what kind of storm you're struggling through today. Today may be a good day for you, but I've come to find out that all of us are in one of three places. We're either in a storm, we're coming out of a storm, or we're getting ready to go into a storm. And I want you to understand that wherever you are, you need God. But if you can trust him through it, total victory is coming your way. I want to pray before I leave. Can I pray for some people who will say, look, Munts, I don't want to tell anybody the details, but I'm in the middle of something right now, and I just need the help of God. If that's you, stand on your feet all over this room, wherever you are. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to put the details out there, but I'm in something that only you can help me with, God. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you now on behalf of your people. We trust you completely in every area of our lives. And yet, as much as we trust you, sometimes, God, it hurts. Sometimes we cry. And the truth of the matter is doubt creeps in. We're asking you today, Father, to increase our faith, to strengthen us, to see your hand, to know your hand, to understand what it is you're doing. And then, God, if you choose not to tell us, Lord, just carry us through. We are so desperate for more of you, God. We don't understand why we have to go this way. But the same way you brought the children of Israel through their bondage and through the Red Sea into their promise, we know you'll do it for us. The same way you were able to deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace, we know you'll do it for us. The same way that you were able to put the lions on a fast when Daniel was in a lion's den, we know you'll do it for us. The same way you delivered Paul and Silas when they were in jail, we know you'll do it for us. And so, God, I just ask you, Lord, move for your children today, whatever they're facing, whatever they're dealing with, for that person that is at their wits' end, give them a supernatural miracle. Show your hand in their life, and we will always give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people of God said, amen. Come on, clap your hands and give God praise, because he still calms storms.